All right, we got Colo in the building for Sports and Hip Hop with DJ Mad Max, Live 365, IR Radio, one of the nicest up-and-coming MCs, and he's going to be opening up from one of the nicest MCs in the game coming soon. We're going to get into that. Sports and Hip Hop with DJ Mad Max. Colo's in the building. Colo, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show, man. Welcome back.
What's going on? Good to see you. Round two, man. Round two.
Round two, man. It's been a while. I remember we were chopping it up, and we were pretty much in quarantine at that point. It's crazy, like, how we both evolved over time, and you just blowing up, you getting on major stage, all the viral freestyles and just the basement freestyles and everything that you've been doing, and just seeing all the music that you've been putting out, man. Congratulations on everything. You're just elevating the cosigns. We're going to get into all of it, but how's life now that we're 4 months into 2024, almost 5 months in now?
Yeah, man, I appreciate all the love for sure. And yeah, man, life is definitely, been on the upswing for sure. I mean, I think it ebbs and flows, but right now just been like working just with content and stuff, just trying to be as present as possible, be in people's faces. A lot of just great opportunities keep coming along. And so, like, yeah, it's just been a lot of work that has brought us to this point. So just been blessed to see everything elevate with social media and just, being able to, like, I at the point when I was talking to you, I was still doing a 9-to-5. The first time we had this interview, that I was in, like, 2019, 2020 time. Yeah, quarantine era, like you're talking about. So, like, around then I was still like, doing a 9-to-5. So to be able to do this full time now is a true blessing. And that's, a testament to like the hard work me and my manager have been doing and everything. So yeah, man, it's great to be in a better position for sure.
Yeah, and shout out to Brian too, because we met at St. John's. He was in the history class that we were in when I was a freshman. I don't know what year he was at that point, but I remember he was sat in the back of the class. I was in the back of the class with him, and we kind of connected there. He was doing his radio thing at the St. John's University Station, and we linked up there as well. And you guys met through there too. That's how you guys were doing some great things. There's a lot of history between the three of us.
Yeah, man, it's cool how everything just kind of connects. It's just like a crazy web of just people connecting. But yeah, man, like he's put a lot of hard work into, making sure everything, gets to this point. And yeah, man, it's just been a blessing to be able to meet people through him and stuff. So yeah, man, it's great, man.
Yeah. Shout out to Brian always, man. That's the guy right there. But you mentioned something important, and I think there's a lot of dreamers out there struggling right now. I think we could really elevate the audience right now, because you got out of the 9-to-5 environment. There's a lot of people that are trapped in there. There's a lot of people that are sitting around in life. They graduate the college, they don't know what to do with their lives. And there's a lot of people that do know what they want to do, and they're stuck in that job, and they're like, man, I got to make all these payments for this. I'm trapped here. How do I get out of it? So what are the steps that you took to finally live your dream out and make a living off of what you love doing?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think it's complicated, and also like context is based on the context that you, everybody's context is different, right? So you kind of have to adapt based on your context. But first of all, you kind of have to decide like what is like the value of your dream, to a sense. So like the value of your dream is if it's your dream and purpose is so valuable to you that it's kind of central to your life, then that's kind of a starting point. And then you kind of can from there decide what sacrifices am I willing to make, right? And I think those sacrifices usually are way more expensive than people think. At first you think maybe like, oh, I'm just not going to go out a little bit. But it kind of has to be depending on how valuable the dream is to you and how kind of difficult the industry you're working in. You gotta have to make a decision to be like, hey, like this is gonna be like, people are not gonna see me almost at all. Or it might be the opposite. I'm gonna be out all the time working, So it's about making a certain type of sacrifice with specifics to the 9-to-5. My approach was always I was lucky to have a job that I liked. I was like a health inspector and stuff. I was like one of those people, you pull up to the Taco Bell and you're like giving them a grade and you dip out. It's that kind of thing. So I always understood that it was a job that I enjoyed, but this wasn't going to be a forever thing. But I also understood the value of having something to sustain what I was doing. And, it might be tough to sometimes have that realistic talk with yourself in a sense, because it's like, everybody, and again, every context is different, but I knew that I had to be able to sustain myself while I was doing that. So my 9-to-5 was to supplement what the purpose was going to be. And if your 9-to-5 is that, you keep doing to your 9-to-5 until you don't have to do it anymore. So I think that's kind of like what my kind of thing was. But again, context kind of shapes everything, because for some people, they never have to do a 9 to 5. They get to just focus on it. Some people might have to do the 9 to 5 even longer. It's everything is different. It's just kind of like what you're willing to sacrifice, and just always maintaining that kind of like outlook of this is what it has to be. This is what my life is going to be.
Here's a it's going to be a controversial topic and a lot of controversial question, because people college is a part of the system. I believe it's a system. We're all trapped in there. If it involves the government, it's a trap. We already know. Do you look at it now that you're finally in the space that you're at now? Was college worth it? Because there's a lot of videos I see going around viral on social media and TikTok where now they tell us, okay, you go to college, but you're working a job that you don't need a college degree for, and it's hard to advance. So is college worth it, or it depends on what your field is? What's your thoughts?
I think it's one of those other contextual things, because it's like, if you're a doctor, or if you want to be a doctor, there's no really, obviously the way things are constructed, I mean, it makes sense. You go to, start with you getting your biology degree, you get that pre-med, then you have to go to med school, then you have to do residency. So there's like a some kind of paths are more straightforward, and college kind of provides a clear roadmap for that. Even if you wanted to be maybe like an athlete, you might have to play college sports first. So I don't necessarily think it's like a thing where you can't, or college is a waste of time. I do feel that there are some scenarios where college probably isn't just for you. You maybe you're more involved in doing a trade. Maybe you want to be an entrepreneur and you have the mindset and the drive to kind of do something that's beyond the norm. I feel like people like Bill Gates, or would have been wasted. I think he dropped out of college because it's like it feels like a waste of time when you kind of know what you want. And I don't think there you shouldn't just, you don't have to go to college just to just for the sake of going to college. There needs to be like a reason. Maybe you find that reason why you're there. But if you come to the scenario, or come to like the understanding that you don't need to go to college, then you go do something entrepreneurial. Again, it just depends on the person, because if you're the type of person that has the drive and like the know-how and the belief in themselves to do something outside of the college system, college, then yeah, you don't need to go to college. But again, it just depends on your field and what you want to do, I would say.
Yeah. And you took it seriously. I know with your craft, right when you were kind of in college, you were writing the raps. You started to putting the pieces together. Cause I remember when we spoke last time, you remember being like a kid, like on the Kindle. You were making the raps on the Kindle.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's true. Do you say, I mean, it's my story, but I'm hearing it like it's somebody else's for the first time. But no, that's a throwback, because yeah, that's what I used to do, like when I was in like, I want to say like 14, 15. Like it was just so, I think I was just like a fan of it. But back then there wasn't like this is what I want to do. I think it was just my natural instinct to kind of do it because I enjoyed it. It's just something you like to do, but it wasn't really serious to the degree of showing people. It was more so like I would do my little raps and kind of keep it a secret. But I think what's interesting about like a progression, like as a person, is like I feel like I just kept getting more comfortable with myself, even though I didn't know it. And by the time I was like in grad school, it's like, okay, I'm gonna do a cipher, I'm gonna do this. It just kind of was like always kind of like gravitating, and until that point where I was just like, yeah, I'm doing this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've been really working hard now. You got some big cosigns here recently. So tell me where you were when you received the cosign from Russ and then the great Idris Elba. I mean,
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think those things are just so random, because it just happens. A lot of it is social media based now. Like you get a lot of love. I think both times, I mean, I don't specifically know every time where, but I just remember kind of the feeling of like, yeah, this is pretty crazy. You just get some, notification of like, oh, yo, this is dope, or a like and a follow, and just basically them like showing a lot of love. So I think a lot of those things have naturally happened just from being really consistent on social media and people really gravitating. And TikTok was huge for us, as well as Instagram. And TikTok is kind of the places those two instances have happened. So it's pretty crazy. And it's like, I just kind of hope to, keep being consistent with it, because you never know the type of people you just like looking. And that's the thing with the internet, you just look at your phone one day, like just random day, nothing's going on, and then you see something like that, and it's just like, yeah, like it's kind of inspiring because it just pushes you to keep working.
Yeah, and especially with Idris Elba, I mean, that's totally someone who's on. He's an actor, so it's like you got someone from the outside who's
Right.
huge watching you too. That's crazy.
100%. And to be fair, he also he's actually a accomplished musician as well, right? He's DJ.
Yeah, that's
He
Israel.
plays
Yeah.
house music. Like he raps as well. So nah, it's really dope, man. And I just hope to like keep on working so I can like, just interact with people you admire, meet more new people and hopefully elevate this, keep on elevating,
Yeah, tell him we back up. We back up and running like the
Your bell, man. Nah,
wire. Oh, Stringer. Oh, he gets it too. He gets a
that's
shotgun.
crazy. For sure.
Oh yeah. Marlo gets him. Unbelievable. That's another iconic show. Conway the Machine. Ready for it? Is now what's the I mean, to me, you're a lyrical beast, but is there pressure for you to open up for Conway, being that he's one of the best MCs in the game right now?
I don't see it as pressure. I see it as like an amazing opportunity. I think it's like, understanding your role as an opener, you're warming up the crowd. So, and it's obviously like a platform for me as an up and coming artist to kind of showcase my ability. I think I'm confident in who I am and what I can do. So I think it's more so about just making sure I get my preparation right, rehearsals and just making sure I come correct and being ready to give a good performance and open the right way. But no, it's exciting to be honest with you. Like Conway, obviously, everybody at Griselda, like it's an amazing movement that's kind of like, I feel like a lot of their movement has led to a massive resurgence in like the boom bap feel. Like I feel like people hear beats from Alchemist or Derringer, all these people in that. And not in that camp specifically, but that work with that camp and in that camp that they hear music from there and there's like, it's like, oh, that's that Griselda sound. They have
Yeah.
their own identity. So I think it's super cool to be able to be in a position where I can, like showcase my ability and just kind of like, yeah, just go out there and rap and do what I do.
Yeah. It's going to be big. And I know the audience is going to be, this is in Brooklyn too. It's going to be in Brooklyn the 16th of May.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and it's like the it's dope for me as a I'm obviously from around Atlanta. I'm in Georgia, and to be in like, I always love traveling to New York. It just gives me that energy, but also like being the mecca of hip hop. Being like a centerpiece of hip hop, and being able to perform and performing like obviously it's all rap. I love all kinds of rap, and I do all kinds of rap, but definitely to do even like a show like this where it's like a really traditional take on the genre. It's really about the bars and really spitting. Like it's a dope opportunity. So it's just excitement, honestly. It's really
Yeah.
exciting.
What are your thoughts? Because when I see in the comments, especially with your freestyle on Major Stage, because there you got a lot of support from that freestyle that you did. What are your thoughts when people are comparing you to Nas and Jay-Z? Because they're saying that you're like Nas and Jay-Z combined and your own self.
Yeah, man. Like I think a lot of people sometimes have like a negative feeling of like being compared because it almost feels like a box. I understand kind of who I am. So, even on my latest album, I have like, I the rapping takes center stage. It always will. But I do like singing stuff. I do stuff around. I like to have that kind of like a little bit of versatility in what I do. So I don't really feel boxed in to do a specific thing, but I do feel like, these comparisons are more so people just appreciating, and even to be mentioned with people like that is just dope. Even for somebody to say like, oh, you remind me of Nas, Jay-Z, whoever. So all the comparisons I get, I just kind of like appreciate it because I understand that it's like more so people looking in admiration than it is like some sort of limitation on who I am.
And you've been grinding. I think it's well deserved, and you're one of the ones, because I remember we talked about Atlanta, and your first rapper that you discovered was 50 Cent in The Massacre, with your uncle playing in the room. I remember we talked about that the last time,
Talked about all this. Yeah, that's crazy.
which is classic, because and it's been a couple years now, and the elevation is just there. And we bring up your recent music, and we look at Lost Dreams, because that's an important record that really spoke to me. And just you talking about it being a lonely journey. So how do you fill the void with it being a lonely Jersey kid, you can't trust a lot of people in your corner. And I kind of addressed this recently on my birthday post, and I haven't really celebrated my birthday because it gets dark, you know, because you're so focused on trying to elevate. And we're trapped up in this cycle now of comparing your life to somebody else's. I usually don't do that. I'm more focused on me and being like, man, I haven't reached the ultimate goal where I want to be. But how do you fill the void with dealing with loneliness in this industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think one way I go about it is just to, I think I have an understanding that there is a certain amount of loneliness that's like inevitable when you're just trying to be excellent at anything. This is not like limited to music. I think it's like a life thing, you know, elevation and trying to be the best version of yourself is a very like lonely journey. I think Will Smith has a specific quote about that, but it's a pretty lonely journey. And I think accepting that makes it okay, because it's another kind of sacrifice that you have to make to some degree. But to be fair, I don't see it as like, I see it as a journey where I have a lot of support. I have, you know, people that I work with that are amazing, that are in my corner. I have family and friends that show me a lot of love. I've received more love over the last few years that has kind of like propelled things and it kept me moving forward. So I see it as more of, I'm not completely lonely, but there are very lonely moments, right? And so the reality of the situation is that when you're kind of on a chase for something, there isn't going to be this safety net. Part of it is just going to be, you have to get through those lonely moments. So there's no kind of trick around it. There's no basically solution for it. It's just more so that you have to understand that like your plan is your plan, and what your road is kind of like a lonely journey, but also kind of balance it out and understand that even within that journey, there are still people that show me love. There's still great things that's happening, great people supporting me. And I think the two things can coexist. It's never just one thing.
You're right. That's song that really spoke to me that you recently released, but the one that's blowing up, She Don't Mean It, that's been going crazy, man. It's been going crazy on the platform, especially with YouTube. So get into the inspiration behind that track if you want to tell the story there.
So it's one of those songs, like, again, kind of did it on TikTok, Instagram. I basically, you know, been sampling music from basically across the world. That's what my album, What It Means to See It All, is about, basically sampling music from all across the world. Get a lot of love in all corners of the world. Eastern Europe in particular shows a lot of love. So I sampled a song from Slovakia. And, you know, with that sample, I kind of like show how I flip it on social media, do all that, put it out. And, you know, everybody was kind of like, yo, we want this song. We want this, you know, it's kind of one of those things I did. And I just kind of like kept on moving. But everybody else, you know, even people that I know were like, oh, this is a dope song, put it out. So I kind of finished the song. Love that I was able to finish the song. And yeah, it's like another one of those songs. It's kind of like more of like a kind of club type of joint, or not necessarily even just a club joint, but more of a bouncy type of, definitely different from like a Lost Dreams. That's more introspective and more, you know, boom bap. And yeah, man, I love, like, you know, all the love I've been getting from Slovakia, even people just from everywhere, really just enjoying the song. And, you know, I think it's dope that I've been able to like do this concept of like, you know, making music from different places in the world. And that's kind of also helped elevate things and helped me to connect and broaden my horizons as well.
Yeah, that's something that you really do have on lock, I noticed, is with being global and just being, because you got the support from Poland, you got a lot of support from people around the world and even outside the US. Do you feel as though that, I don't know, I feel like the mainstream kind of traps us into feeling as though we don't want to hear boom bap and lyrical hip hop because we see what's going on now. And hip hop is such a mess right now because we're going through this whole thing. I know people are calling it the civil war of hip hop. I'm not really entertaining it. It's so out of, I think, you know, what I'm talking about, the Drake and the J. Cole and the Rick and the Kendrick. I mean, we got to get back to making albums like The Massacre, which is, that was your intro to hip hop, and like Get Rich or Die Trying. I want to challenge artists right now who are listening, and just I'm going to continue to promote this. Instead of beefing with each other, why don't we start getting back out there and making classic albums like Get Rich or Die Trying, Country Grammar. Let's get back to making albums like that, because it's been a while. You know, it's been a while since we've had a classic album like that. But it's really discouraging when you see, and I think there's a, and you performing with Conway, opening up for him, is such a big statement to where that's someone you want to stand next to. Because when I see certain artists, and you don't have to agree with this, but when I see like Taylor Swift co-signing Ice Spice, Drake co-signing Sexy Red, that's doing such a disservice to the art form of hip hop, because you're not giving the props and the cosign to a really talented artist. You're giving it to someone who's microwave rap. It's someone that's only here for the moment. It's a trend. It's not serious. And I know a lot of people may take offense to that, but I'm someone that wants to uphold and preserve the art form of hip hop. And when you validate artists like that, it just creates a bad trend, and we're doing harm to the art. That's how I look at it. And to really wrap this question up, do you feel as though that hip hop is appreciated as far as the lyric ability and the art form in the United States as it once was?
I think the genre goes through an evolution. I do think the backbone of the genre, for the most part, you see kind of like, even like if we were to talk about this like last decade or so, like kind of like people that always brought up like J. Cole, Drake, Kendrick, those guys, you know, there's still kind of like a focus on the bars. Even for those guys, obviously they're great song makers and hit makers as well. So I think there is definitely a space for that. I think people want it. I do think that it's complicated because it's not, maybe the route is not as direct, in the sense that like maybe it will take a little bit longer if you're the type of person that's like, you know, making crazy concept albums or being more lyrical. Maybe the stuff that's, you know, kind of have more pop appeal or more of like a mainstream appeal will go first, you know. And of course there's room for everybody. My personal opinion, and of course I respect your opinion that you know, everybody feels a way about kind of things. I love kind of all aspects of it. So I'm able to, you know, for me, it's more so like I appreciate certain parts, but kind of like you also, maybe what I love the most is definitely a certain type of like, oh, bars and stuff like that. But I hop in different lanes. So it's not like a thing where I can say, oh, this is just the only type of genre, or this is like better than this. There's always lanes for everybody, but personally, I love that, you know, there is a lane for us even outside of the United States. I do feel like there is appreciation of rap music. And I do think in this coming, for the rest of this decade, I do feel like there is an opening for people that they want something. I just think that, and I feel like I put this pressure on myself to package things the right way. And I think people want to like a person that's like, you know, lyrical, makes good songs and can do a lot of things and make those albums like you were talking about. So I do think that the space is open for it. I just think people need to keep doing it. And I do think that the fans need to, you know, try to just support. So I think it's kind of twofold, in that artists got to do their part, and fans and the consumers got to support it if that's the music they really want, you know?
Yeah, and I agree. A lot of it has to do with the songwriting, because I always say you could be the best rapper, but you got to write songs.
Yeah,
you know, you got to be able to make the song. I mean, in the club, like a total club record, but it's lyrical and great. It's an anthem. That's what we need.
100%. I mean, I agree with definitely with that. Like, I think, you know, if I'm being honest, if I look at the landscape, if you're the type of guy that's like super lyrical and you make like great music, like, you can have an amazing dedicated fan base. But if you don't have kind of like maybe like the songwriting ability that you mentioned, it will be tough for you to have like a mass appeal or global appeal in a certain sense, because it's kind of like, you know, when it comes to like radio play, or when it comes to stuff that's, you know, appeals to a broad audience, it might not go. And to be honest, some people, that's not their aim, you know, and that's why everybody has their pockets. Some people don't really care about being played on the radio. And sometimes I don't want to listen to stuff on the radio.
Oh,
Sometimes
yeah, I don't even turn that up.
you know, or even if it's not like radio, because that's kind of like old way of saying it, but like even stuff that's like popular or more mainstream or trending, I'll be honest, I enjoy a lot of this stuff, which is where for me it's like about balance. But sometimes, you know, I play a certain type of music, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I enjoy like the hits and stuff that's out. Sometimes I'm just like playing some Nas joint that like is just, you know what I'm saying? That's just
Yeah.
made phone. So it's kind of like everybody kind of also has to decide what niche they want to, you know, kind of occupy. Personally, I definitely want to be somebody that's like known for like the quality of my art and to be a person. I like being identified as like, oh yeah, that guy raps well. Like
Yeah.
100%, I want that to be me. But I'll be honest, I don't want to be limited to that. I don't want it to be like a thing where that's it. Like kind of like a 50, like we just talked about, he had appeal. He had pop appeal, you know, but he didn't necessarily sacrifice the art when it came to Get Rich or Die Trying and classics that he made. So I feel like I love the balance of being able to appeal, but being, you know, kind of like
Mainstream at the same time.
exactly.
Yeah, that's what we need. That's what we really need. And the production comes hand in hand too, because I 50, this is why, I mean, 50 had Dre and these guys behind him, and 50 needs to, Dre needs to get back to doing that and start getting the artists out there and producing new music. But I mean, when we look at like a song like Country Grammar, the self-titled song, like what happened to those beats? You know, even the production, it was just, it had a character to the artist who was a character of himself, you know, Ludacris, same thing. Like, where are all these? Where'd the beats go? You know, now it's just trap drums everywhere, and drill took off in New York, and it's, you know, it's crazy how like production kind of died in hip hop, and now we have the Derringer and Alchemist beats going crazy for the underground guys, and they're more main. They have they're kind of crossing that bridge to where they're underground, but they're known. But that's more, when you look at it, it's like Mob. Those are like Mobb Deep beats, MOP. We still need that kind of gloss to it. Kind of like what Biggie was doing with Juicy and all these Hypnotize and stuff like that. Those are the beats that we need to really get it to where it's okay, it's hard, but it's acceptable for the radio and the clubs too.
No, I get it. I get that balance. And yeah, man, I think it's just one of those things where like I think it's a challenge for especially like up and comers to kind of find a way to do that. I think there's a space for things. I just think people gotta like kind of create. One thing about me, like, is because I'm an artist, anytime I hear this stuff, I always think from an artist perspective where it's like, okay, so how do you figure that out? You know, because I think that's kind of like what it is. And once people kind of find you and find that feeling that they're looking for, I feel like the support comes with that, you know.
Yeah, no, it does. Let's get into this series that you had, because you're sampling all the music. When was the point that you started to see that it started to really take off? Was there a specific one?
Yeah, so like it was like I want to say that I technically started end of November, I want to say is or around November. I was just sampling vinyl, and then you know, from sampling vinyl, I was sampling even country music. I was sampling all kinds of music. And then I kind of just landed on this thing. I was going to vinyl store and I saw like, you know, very obscure, like obviously anybody that does digging, you know, like Dilla is known, for example, for taking like a certain Brazilian sample and making like a classic. So it's like just because of that history of hip hop of like sampling from, you know, obviously sampling soul, but also even sampling from other countries and other music. So I kind of took that and was like, yeah, like, you know, I saw like an Icelandic folk song. Like I found the vinyl in somewhere in Atlanta and was sampling stuff like that. And I just was enjoying it. And I just saw people like just small, just like, you know, interacting with it. And there was just this one day where I just decided to even like go on YouTube, find like, because I was just starting to try and find more records and everything. Found this like Italian classic song. I don't even remember the name. There's been too many at this point, but amazing song. And I sampled it and somebody commented about how this was their grandfather's favorite song, like album, you know, and like they connected to this because of that. And at that point, I kind of realized that what I was doing was like cool, but what was actually happening and how people were connecting was different. It was kind of like a thing of like, you know, it being a channel of like, I was just finding these records and people are looking at it as like, oh, this is something that I have a cultural connection to, right? And then on top of that, like it was something where people from other countries were seeing that and seeing and learning about music from other genres, other cultures. And I'm learning all at the same time. So I'm legitimately learning. So I'm working one day in Italy, and then somebody said sample something from Turkey. I'm looking up something from Turkey, and that was the name, but I'm sampling something from there, and it's like, whoa, like, I'm learning about this artist, and I sample something from Spain, or I sample something from, wherever, and it just keeps going and going, and it's been like literally all the continents I've sampled, not every single country, but a lot of countries, and it's just been cool. It's been like a very amazing and heartwarming experience, and a very like honored. I've been honored because, it's been mostly positive. When you're doing things with people's cultures, it's a very thin slope. And of course, there has been some
Yeah.
push, something. It's always going to be something. But I've been kind of like pleased and just been lucky that it's been mostly very, very positive. And that's been really cool to see for sure.
No, I think you got something with this. And now, are you going to keep continuing with this series, or are you thinking of something else?
100% for now. Obviously, like I've been doing singles in between, so it's not like every single day is happening, but definitely going to continue with that. There will be more music, a lot more music with that coming as well. So people definitely should be on the lookout for that. And yeah, like we're going to make this like continue to make this like an event, and keep on doing it. And I think it's going to be exciting to see, kind of what more comes from it for sure.
We got to get into this because I have to cook a little. I have to cook you a little bit for this. I did see this online. Interstellar, that's your favorite movie? Really?
Here we
Oh,
go.
come on, man. No,
Here
that's like
we go.
that's 4 hours of my life I'll never get back.
What's your criticisms of
It's
Interstellar?
just boring. It's just like, really? It was her him behind the bookcase. I mean, four hours of my life I'll never get back again. That is one of the worst movies. Like, what?
That's
Like, you can
funny.
sit through that without sleeping?
100%, man. Like, so the thing about it is like, with Interstellar, like I'm not really the biggest. I think I've changed because there's other sci-fi movies I've enjoyed,
Hmm.
but I feel like with Interstellar, there's like a the emotional element is probably the most entertaining element to me. Obviously, definitely didn't hit a chord with you, but
No.
with me, kind of like his relationship with his daughter, kind of the idea of like almost like having this inner purpose, but the sacrifice of that purpose. The sacrifice of losing time with the people you love because there's this greater thing that you feel compelled to accomplish. So it's kind of like that emotional thread that really carries the story for me. And yeah, man, I'm a big I don't know what other Chris, do you like any other Christopher Nolan movies? Because I'm a big Christopher Nolan guy.
Dark Knight.
That's your yeah.
I like the, but after the only the Dark Knight, because I love Heath Ledger's performance of the Joker. That's just, he took that to extremes to where he became the Joker. I mean, we, rest in peace and what he did, but I mean, he became the Joker. It's crazy. He embodied him, and it made him so crazy. It eventually led to his downfall, but that was the dedication level he gave to it.
Yeah, 100%. What is like the movies that like do it for you? You seem like a Godfather type of person or something like that.
Okay, I like The Godfather. I like Scarface. I love Scarface.
Scarface is a
Yeah,
classic.
I love.
Funny enough, I just watched that recent, maybe 4 or 5 months ago. Classic movie. I've been missing out. That's a
Yeah,
classic.
I like Scarface. I mean, if I had to give like a couple movies that I like, I'd probably say Scarface. I'm a big horror movie guy, so
Okay, sure.
I like Psycho. Like, I think Alfred Hitchcock did his thing with Psycho, the 1960s one. I'm trying to think of some other films that I really, really like. I was always a fan of the movie Jaws. I think Steven Spielberg made a classic with that. I mean, that's just classic.
Yeah, iconic movie for sure.
yeah, I do like The Godfather. I'd put that up there. I said Psycho. I'm trying to think of another movie that I like, Night of the Living Dead. I'm a more of an old school like horror movie guy. I like that classic, like the black and white sometimes, even like Halloween. I like the first Halloween. The Freddies are okay. I like all that stuff. I'm more of a lot of the horror movies today are just
Not doing
cheap
it for you.
CGI. remakes.
Kind of cookie cutter, I guess.
Yeah, kind of like how some of these hip hop artists are. Anyway, you know, that's just how it is now. But Interstellar, you know, it is kind of funny because you can relate it to yourself. I mean, I now that you put it in those terms, I can kind of see where you're getting it from and relating to your life, because when you're in this industry, you have to look at it as you do lose time with your family. You have to surround yourself with people that understand your lifestyle and, you know, choose someone who's compatible with you in this industry, because a lot of times commitments may not work out, you know, because they don't, you know, a certain significant other may not understand your lifestyle. And, you know, you're losing time because you're always on the, especially for an artist, you're always on tour, you're always in the studio. You know, you're pretty much just better off. You better release a banging classic if you want some time with your family, you know, because you're going to be constantly working.
100%. Yeah, that's just the, you know, that's kind of like, hey man, like with life, unfortunately, there's no perfect life. There's no like, I get to do everything I want to do at all times. There's always like some sort of trade-off, you know? And I think for me, I've just decided to make a trade-off that includes like that centers my purpose. So yeah, that comes with the grind. But I think if you find things that are worth it to you, the trade-off is always worth it. You know what I'm saying? I don't really like, even like now doing this interview, it's like everything has led me up to this point and will keep on pushing me. It's like I don't look back at those things and be like, I can't believe I did that, or why did I spend this much time doing this? It makes sense because this is kind of like where your purpose is. And I feel like I just hope that, especially like a lot of young people that kind of don't know what they want to do yet, I just wish that for people to have that sense of purpose or belonging in a certain field where it's like, this is what I need to do, and this is who I am, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's how you have to relate it to and just keep moving. No matter any struggles that you go through, the most important thing is not giving up and just keeping going, because you only get one life to live. And you have to look at it as you have to take risks. If you really want this, I don't care what financial struggles, because I was thinking about that, because a lot of times people struggle with the finances that they have. You can't let the finances to keep you from, because a lot of people, they'll get in these investments to the point where it's like, all right, I got to work this job. No, you got to be like, nah, screw this. This isn't going to destroy my life. I'm still going to go chase my dreams, you know, because a lot of times people just, they can't get into the right mindset of believing that they can chase their dreams. A lot of people may feel as though they're starting too late, but you got to keep going. That's the most important thing. If, especially if you have something there where you have the talent and you have work behind you got to keep going.
Yeah, 100% agreed. And that's where, like, you know, it's in the beginning, like, it's easy when it's something new and fresh. I feel like the in between of when you start and when, like, victories start rolling in kind of just obviously is going to determine everything, because you're going to start, it might even be good at first, and then there's the dips that come. And I think it's being able to like roll with the punches and like surf through all the waves and the tsunamis. That's kind of like what determines or separates everything, you know. And it's going to be just a lot of waves, and that's why I feel like being in something that you really really want to do is what makes it different. If I was like a musician or a rapper and I kind of just wanted to do this because I wanted to make money or I wanted fame, I just feel like I'd be done by now. Like, you know, I just feel like it would be, and not to say that like maybe some people's quest for money and fame is that deep, but I can make money doing on something else. So it's, if it was for money or fame or some other ulterior motive, it might burn out quick. But when you're doing something you're really passionate about, it will be easier to like roll through those times where money's low, and because it's inevitable with anybody that does something of a high level. So yeah, like, but you got to find a way, you know. And it's tough because there's always going to be excuses, and life sucks, but it's kind of like that way for everybody. So you got to just kind of find a way, you know.
Yeah, you definitely have to find a way. It's just what everything in life, and you're right just about everything that you talk about, and especially with you saying that this isn't for the fame, this isn't for the money. Because I remember I spoke about this in an interview that I did back in October with an actor named Taylor Nichols. I remember we were going over his work, And I talked with him about it, and just that people today, they don't go after the craft because they have a gift at it or it's what they love doing. They're going for the fame. No one's chasing their dream because you're supposed to get the fame and money are supposed to come with your talent and with your right. hard work. That's supposed to come. Now right. today, people are like, okay, well, let me show my ass. Let me get on OnlyFans. Let me say the most outrageous thing so I can get all this immediate fame. And that's just how it's going right now. And it's a shame that we're overlooking the really talented people out here for clickbait and just people looking for attention. And people are feeding into it. You know, these streamers, these blogs, it's crazy. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where there's so much going on that there's just this responsibility, or like how I feel, to kind of like, how do you kind of poke through all of that? You know what I'm saying? Because there's just so much going on with the internet. There's all kinds of distractions in a way. Like, even like, that's kind of like why, even like with culture, like there's very few things that everybody kind of sits and pays attention to, everybody's glued into anymore, because there's just so many more pockets of culture where it's like, there's podcasts here, there's movies here, there's sports here, there's all kinds of things. And even like you're talking about OnlyFans, everything, there's just so many options of what can our eyes can be drawn to, that in a way it's even harder than ever to kind of like poke through and become somebody that, like, okay, people are not paying attention. But to the same degree, I do feel like, because of the internet and because of how globalized things are, someone like me can make TikToks and Instagrams.
And it goes crazy, yeah.
Find something. Yeah. So it's like, it does balance out to some degree, you know?
Yeah, and then you see these random people that you never, I love this. You'll see like these random guys on here that have millions of followers. It's like, never even heard of you before. You know, I mean, it's so crazy when you see that they post these stupid motivational videos and they have all these like millions and millions of followers. You think that he would be like, I don't know, who's like the biggest celebrity out, like a Justin Bieber or something. You would think that he's on the same. That's crazy to me. They're really pocketing those followers up. They're really, and they're bamboo. They're conning these people. They're really conning them that they're public figures.
Yeah, the internet has made it like, it's interesting to like see how that, like, even I, like, even someone like me, like, I've been lucky enough to like have 200 and like, I have like, I think 290,000 followers right now.
Yeah, and you've been going viral and doing major stage. Yeah, you've been putting the work in.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, it's a lot of followers, but there's just so many of people now that you have like 3 million, 5 million, what? Like, there's just a lot of people that, And it's kind of crazy because it's like, in certain pockets, people are quote unquote celebrities, you know? So it's interesting what the internet is kind of like allowed, because it's just like, and again, to some degree, there is a negative to that, because people might feel like they're stars or superstars or have this.
Oh, everyone feels like you could have like 1,000 followers. Everyone thinks they're a celebrity. Everyone, really degrades the people like us and the people that are also creatives out there, because we really put in the work to have that, to have some sort of title for ourselves. You know, we're public figures, so we have that title, and you got people out here that are nothing to show for themselves, and they think that they're this big celebrity, there's a lot of egos that, you know, people have to, you know, tone down a bit. There's a lot of things that people have to do to just, you know, stop thinking that you're a celebrity. But unfortunately, with social media, everyone's a celebrity now.
Yeah, that's is the social media has its definitely has its benefits. Everything has its trade offs, man.
Yeah, so. No, we don't have to tone our egos. We got our egos.
That's funny.
But man, I mean, when we look at everything that you got going on, I remember we were talking about the Last Manifesto last time that we had you on. But you're working on, I know you've released another, you've got some other things that you've released since then. But you're working on an upcoming album. What can you let us know about this upcoming album?
Yeah, upcoming album is coming along great. Definitely going to be, you know, an extension of what we did with the countries and stuff like that. Yeah. So just looking forward to kind of extending that. Definitely, if people haven't checked out, they can check out my album, What It Means to See It All. That was like the first version of like, you know, the country stuff. So definitely we'll be extending on that. There's also, you know, just a lot of singles that I've done. She Don't Mean It's one of the ones you mentioned. I have a new song called Make a Play Out. And that kind of links to what we've been talking about, chasing the dreams and
kind of not making excuses for, you know, kind of just finding a way. I think that's a good song with that. So that song's called Make a Play. Yeah, just been like super, I'm always super consistent with the content. Obviously, I'm on Instagram, KOLO.24. And it's the same as well on TikTok as well. So I'm very consistent with like just content in general. So, you know, hit me up with a follow, anybody listening, you know, because you definitely get your money's worth with content. And at the very least, even if I don't like sample a country or something, I do some weird stuff or not like anything bad, I promise. But like I made a beat like sampling like chimpanzees, for example. Like I do just very unique, like creative stuff just because I find it fun and find it like, you know, kind of keeping like a super open door to creativity and just being very like off the wall with things sometimes. So it just makes for great content. So yeah, man, people can follow me there, but I'm always just like consistent and putting things out. And there's just a lot more on the way this year. You know, it's now the time to work harder. So we're definitely going to just keep on doing it.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm glad to see it too. And you got the collaboration with Pat too, UK Polish artist. So
Yes, right.
yeah.
Yeah, that's a really, I'm glad you mentioned that because that was a huge moment. With the They Know Us song was already going crazy, which is like one of my, you know, most popular songs. The They Know Us remix, one of my most popular. Just has done really great, man. And I think it's a combination of like, you know, I feel like it's an amazing beat. Shout out the people from Poland that, you know, have shown us so much love for that. And yeah, Pat dropped an amazing verse. Always love working with him. So no, that was a great moment as well, for sure.
Yeah, man. Lots of great moments ahead. So you're working on the album now. What about with label talk? Are you someone that wants to sign with a label, or you kind of just want to stick with what you got going? I mean, it's working right now. That what you're doing is working.
Right. In terms of the label talks, it's more so like that's not really the focus. The focus is more on kind of building what we have. Obviously, like, you know, the company that, you know, is kind of, this is all under, is called Free Basement. And just kind of like representative of, you know, a lot of young people, you know, in the basement working the, you know, it's kind of like the Bill Gates kind of thing of like starting from your parents' garage, that type of stuff, that type of vibe. And yeah, man, just kind of going with that kind of indie type of approach to things. There's a lot you can do as an artist on your own. There's a lot in this day and age where you can build. And I think that we're going to just continue to keep building. If partnerships come from that, amazing. You know, we'll be open to anything, you know, going forward. So it's not like there's like a rejection of anything label. That would be cool if the situation was right or whatever, but more so just the focus is on continuing to build what we have and just elevate. Yeah.
And just keep elevating from there. I did want to talk about, you got that starter jacket I used on the promo. I like that.
Oh yeah, for sure. The that specific jacket as well is one of my favorites. I'm a big thrifter, so like
Yeah.
I found that, you know, and that's the one thing about thrifting, you can find gems like that. So super cool to be able to like get gems and just stuff. So yeah, that's one of the places where my money goes that I need to like do some better budgeting, to say the least.
But you're a
Retain
hip hop
the
artist, you gotta be fly. And
yeah.
that's the thing about today's fashion. I mean, can we get back to the back? Because I don't let any outside influences influence me to how I dress. I mean, you could say that, you know, because I like jerseys and baggy clothes. So I guess growing up in the early 2000s inspired me, and I haven't changed since then. Could we stop with the skinny jeans and all this other these?
Well, you know what's interesting? I feel like that is actually kind of like is the flip right now. If you actually like, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but a lot of like people, even me, like most of my jeans are baggy now. So like it's kind of like fashion is interesting how it goes through ebbs and flows. And I think we're entering like the kind of like the phase, and it's been a little bit, but like the phase where like baggy's now kind of up. Tim's are kind of like, obviously New York Tim's are always
Oh
Tim's,
yeah.
like all year, all era, all decade. And but even like in other places now, Tim's and these like work wear is kind of like a baggy stuff, and a lot of influence from like the early 2000s, late 90s is kind of coming back. So I feel like your wish is kind of coming true.
Yeah.
But it's cool to like, you know, be able to like look cool too. I think I'm not one of those people that's like too like overly focused on how I look, but I do think it's a very important facet to like being an artist and even being a person, being able to express yourself. So yeah, I guess I have to find a balance between being fly and not, you know, blowing the free basement budget. I think there's the
Free
balance somewhere.
basement, but and
Yeah.
that's what everyone's doing, and it's scary because a lot of the times the people are really conned into everyone's going out and buying all these high-end brand name Versace, Gucci, whatever. It's like the brands, first of all, they don't have the people's best interests, especially when it comes to hip hop. A lot of them have a lot of racial things that they've been exposed for in the past. And a lot of it is it's just like you're wearing it for acceptance to a higher class and a popularity standpoint where I don't even care. Like I'll go out in my Mitchell & Ness. I'm good. I don't need to rock a freaking Versace silk or a freaking Gucci t-shirt. You know, you're paying for the name instead of something that you actually think looks nice. But because it says Gucci, okay, you think you're the shit. And you're, you know, it's ridiculous. It's.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's one of those things where like a lot of people have attachments to certain things where a lot of people think it's like designer, like almost like even like sports cars and stuff like that. So I see the appeal in it, and who knows who I'll be like 2, 3 years or 4 or 5 years, and maybe that's what I enjoy as well. I could see that being a thing, but personally, like right now, like kind of like what you're saying, I feel like that's why thrifting is so cool, because you can kind of like even find things that are unique to you. I remember I was thrifting, it's not even clothes wise. I found like a G Unit poster that was super cool, right? And it's like, it wasn't really, I didn't plan on like going and getting a G Unit poster that day, but I feel like those type of environments are cool where you kind of like dig for stuff. And I think I've gotten a shirt like that too, like Pac Biggie vintage t-shirts and stuff like that. So I kind of like that vibe because you can even find something that just like you like. I remember seeing like a, I just couldn't get it because it was like, I think the size was off, but there was like a Power Ranger shirt, you know? And I remember like watching Mighty Morphin as a kid. So you can find stuff that kind of connects to you. So there's cool aspects to fashion like that that I enjoy.
Yeah, and I heard that they're going to be casting for Interstellar 2, and the lead's going to be
Oh.
Colo.
Oh man, don't even get my hopes. But funny enough, you know, I respect the first movie enough that we ain't doing that. I'm sure you think it would be an upgrade, but I personally love Interstellar so much that we don't need the sequel. The movie's done. I'm not, for the most part, I'm not a fan of, I'm a fan of like planned like trilogies. I think that's good. I don't know if you're a fan of like Dune. I don't know if you've watched Dune or anything.
Dune, no, not a Dune guy.
So that's one of the ones where I'm like, it's like a cool trilogy. I don't know how far they're gonna go actually, but it's one of those in the making. Obviously, I don't know if you know like the, obviously you'll know, but I don't know if you love the like the Lord of the Rings type
Oh
stuff.
no, I'm not into that stuff, yeah.
Okay, so you're not into that stuff, but I like trilogies or stuff or series that all of those ones that I'm mentioning, I feel like they work because they were planned. You know, I don't like the whole like we plan one movie, but we're gonna go and do a cash grab and do a second one. I'm not really a fan of,
Yeah, you're
and
more of like like when we look at like Fast and Furious, you like Fast and the Furious, the first one.
I mean, and I think Tokyo Drift is funny because I think that Christopher Nolan did some sort of interview talking about how he loved that one. I feel like the first few ones, low key, are really like I enjoy them, but yeah, man, those ones are just, you know, they've had like a lot of movies as well. Some of them I really enjoy, but yeah, I'm not really a fan of like just doing it just to do, even with albums too. Like I feel a lot of times people feel the need to do an album just to do it. And you can kind of tell, you know. So it's like even when I have my approach with my art and my music, it's always about, you know, kind of doing things because it's like this is what the feeling is. This is something legit. This is something real. So yeah, maybe not Interstellar 2, but we could think of something else. Let me know if they have something else, but I'll definitely. Yeah. Go
trust me, that first one was so long and boring. We're good for one sequel,
ahead.
two, three, and four. Four
That's
hours, I'll never get back. You'll never get it back.
funny.
Unbelievable. But Colo, is there anything else you would love to let your fans, the audience know? Anything else that we didn't tap in, or touch on into the
Yeah,
night?
man. Just to reiterate, again, on KOLO.24, Instagram and TikTok is a good place to follow me. Do a lot of music content, informational content, entertaining content. Yeah, got a lot of new music on the way. Again, like my new single Make a Play is out now. I'm also on YouTube, so if you search like Colo, for example, I have a song They Know Us that's really popular. You search my name, it'll come up. And I have a lot of, music on YouTube. I'm on all streaming platforms as well, Apple Music, Spotify, just a lot of music coming. And if you just like music in general, especially like rap, but also just good songwriting, just a bit of everything. If you like that, I feel like, I got something for you. And again, it's always a pleasure to be on here. I know you've had a lot of, I'd be seeing a lot of the people you have on here. It's a very impressive like resume that you're building. And it's always like a very great conversation. Like, you showed a lot of love early. The last manifesto, when I dropped my first album, it was, things were even moving in a way I liked then, but obviously things have grown so much since then. So always appreciate you using your platform to show support and be able to have this conversation. It's always dope.
Of course, man, Cole, we got to do something in person eventually too. So I could get you on a freestyle, but yeah, I'm not big on the freestyles because I'm more of a journalist. I let the
Gotcha.
conversations do the talking instead of the freestyle and do the walking for certain platforms. I'm big on, the conversation, but I would love to get you on because I remember I was doing that in college with the, we do the interview, we do the freestyle. So I'd love to do something, pull up a nice old throwback hip hop beat for you. I know you'll massacre it. Yeah, to pun the 50 Cent right there, your favorite album.
Sure, man. And nah, it's dope. Like I'm sure that will happen. And I appreciate you taking this approach, because it's just dope to, I think it gives people a different side of me as an artist, something else to see. I try to show my personality a little bit, could definitely do a better job of that. But I think interviews are just a good kind of like look into, even some of the stuff we've talked about today is like something else different, or a different side to me. And that's what these are good for. So appreciate you taking that approach, and appreciate you having me.
Of course, man, Colo. Anytime. I'm looking forward to the upcoming music. And we got to get some visuals too. I know with some of these tracks, you're working on some visuals too.
100%. Obviously, like some videos will definitely be paying for the future. Obviously, in this era, like a lot of short form content is kind of been leading. So definitely gonna be also tapping into more some music videos in the future. But yeah, man, I'm always kind of dropping content in general. So just gotta be more consistent with that for sure.
And you're gonna do it, man, Colo. Sky's the limit, bro. I want to thank you for coming back on the show. Shout
Appreciate
out to
you.
Brian, man. That's the guy right there. That's the
My
guy
fault.
for sure.
Sure,
And
for sure.
when you drop the album, we'll get you back on the show. Like I said, I eventually start want to go. I'm gonna be going on the road a lot more. I'm ready, and just relocating this year. There's gonna be a lot of things I'm gonna be moving around with as far as really expanding for myself. And I want to do something in person with you too, so we can keep that building and rocking, man. And I appreciate your support and just you being there for my journey as well. And keep being a great MC. I'm looking forward to hearing about this Conway the Machine show.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, man. And hopefully now, I think the show will be great. It'll be a great time. And again, appreciate you having me, man. We'll definitely be doing more stuff for sure.
Of course, I'm gonna manifest that Conway the Machine feature. Maybe get you on
Yeah.
Tito's back, put you
Yeah.
on Tito's back remix.
Oh, let's make it happen. Let's make
Oh, that'd
it
be fire.
happen.
Oh, you already know. All right, Colo, enjoy the rest of your night, man. And we'll talk soon, all right?
Pleasure, man.
All
Pleasure as
right,
well.
man. Peace out. Good night, everyone.
Appreciate you.